Welcome back. So, as I look through for something to base a sermon on, sometimes it's keywords that get my attention. Sometimes it's phrases. Sometimes it's what someone has said. Larry's prayer just now, it basically was my sermon, so we're all done. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Larry. Very good job. So the title of this afternoon's lesson is, In Everything Give Thanks. In Everything Give Thanks. And this is God's will for us, to make sure we're thankful. As we walk upon this earth, I can say that I've seen some impolite people, some of them children, some of them adults. And I get reminded sometimes that I don't say thank you when I should, and not necessarily meaning to be rude, it just, you know, can you pass that, and then I just forget to say thank you. It's a problem that I have that I need to help correct, I need to work on. But sometimes it seems something simple, but do we really appreciate the things that God has given us, and are we thankful for everything that we have? We teach our kids to use their manners and to say thank you and to give thanks. And when we go to God in prayer, this should be very almost forefront on our minds, is to give thanks for the things that we have been blessed with. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll have several comments on these verses here. We won't stay in Thessalonians, but we will come back and forth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and starting there in verse 16, it tells us to rejoice always. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always. Then in 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These are things that God wills for us, to always rejoice, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in everything. The English Standard Version says, give thanks in all circumstances. Changes the word everything to circumstances. Some versions are, be thankful in all circumstances. So when we say everything or all circumstances, that is good and that is bad. We can be thankful even in hard times with the proper mindset. To understand this, let's take a look at a couple of things. The need to give thanks. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We see here where there's a list of sins that we will find in perilous times, when things are getting at its worst. And included in this is ingratitude. It displeases God to be ungrateful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So we're told to turn away from this type of people, but the word unthankful is in that list of sinful acts in perilous times. For us to be ungrateful to the God of heaven who has blessed us so richly is just not necessary. In Romans chapter 1, see, the wrath of God will be revealed against those who are unthankful. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Romans Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Again, ingratitude displeases God. For us to be unthankful displeases God. So the need to give thanks, we are to have an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Thankful for whatever the Father has done. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Thankful for what he has done for us in all things. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 through 14, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So just to start right there for a second, to be thankful, give thanks to the Father that he has qualified us to be partakers. We are qualified to receive this wonderful blessing that this inheritance. We should be giving thanks for the fact that we might have a hope of heaven someday if we do God's will. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So delivered us from the power of darkness. He's rescued us from this dark side. I'm very thankful. In whom we have redemption through his blood. And I'm just going to stop right there. So we have all of these things to be grateful for. But we need to have the attitude of gratitude. We need to have an attitude that we're thankful for these things. Abounding in thanksgiving. We should always be thankful and abounding in thanksgiving for everything, every blessing that we receive. Whether it's just the food on our table, a wonderful place to meet in the building like this, a successful job that provides for our daily needs, whatever. We should be abounding in thanksgiving. Turn just a few pages back or forward. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians 2 and verse 7. Says, as you have learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ. Right, sorry, that's chapter 1. Wrong chapter. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Rooted in the faith. This verse has been described I have a note here that has tree roots. When you cut down a tree or try to pull out a tree, you'll realize that even a small tree is kind of hard to pull up because the roots, they say, are so much deeper than what's above ground. There's so much more below ground. And when you think about that, if we're rooted in this idea of thankfulness, no one can pull it away from us. We will always be abounding in thanksgiving. Always abounding. Jump over to the next chapter, Colossians chapter 3. This should be a part of a garment, so to speak, in quotes there, using the word garment, that we put on. Colossians chapter 3, and there verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. Put on this Thanksgiving, this concept of Thanksgiving, wear it as your outer garment so everyone can see it. Turn over to Colossians chapter 4, just the next chapter over, in verse 2. It's a compliment to our prayers. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. I don't know if you caught on, but the word thanksgiving is it's used several times in the Bible. It's a very important part of what we should do. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Giving of thanks for all men. We are to have an attitude of gratitude. We should be grateful and thankful for the things that we have. Philippians chapter 4. We'll see that the need to give thanks and thankfulness is key to possibly helping us overcome anxiety. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. It says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, anxiety is something that can affect each of us differently. Some it affects more than others. Some has a hard time dealing with it. And that's understandable. But this says, be anxious for nothing. If we have our hearts set on God and the thanksgiving of the things we have, even in some tough times, we can be thankful, and it can help us relieve some stress. By putting our burden, putting our prayers and supplications upon and make them known to God. Let him know. He knows, but let him know that we're thankful for what he's doing for us, and we're thankful that he's there. So it's key to overcoming some forms of anxiety. It's key to overcoming or to obtaining the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. We're going to add 7. We already read 6. We'll add 7 to it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thankfulness is key to understanding that. It's key to obtaining this peace with God. Now going back to our 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again. To pray without ceasing and to rejoice always. Thankfulness is key to that also. We read that earlier. Thankfulness is so important to our prayer, in our prayer, and to being rejoiceful. If we are thankful for things, we are giving credit where credit is due, where God has blessed us, where our mind is set up on those things, and we're not focusing on, well, this is what I don't have, why haven't you given me this, or I want this, or I need this. If thankfulness is first and foremost, then it will help us in our prayers. If we give thanks for everything, we'll pray without ceasing. We've talked about that in the past. That doesn't mean a 24/7 continuous prayer. But when given the opportunity, we go to God in prayer. When we pray without ceasing, we will rejoice always. These go hand in hand. Thankfulness, praying, rejoicing. They're all such a wonderful blessing. Everything, I would say cookies and milk. They go together like cookies and milk, but some of you may want something different besides cookies, but I think you get the point. If we desire to have peace, which passes understanding, then that joy which is inexpressible, we see in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, that we need to develop this attitude of gratitude. We have to have this attitude. We have to be thankful for everything. So how do we be thankful for everything? How is this possible? Remember that all things work for the good of God. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. All things work for the good of God. This is how it's going to help us be thankful for everything if we understand that. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. If we understand that God is in control and all these blessings that we have are working for the good of God, then we will be able to, it'll help us be thankful in everything, for everything we receive and everything we do. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 talks about responding to his call. Loving God presumes obedience to his will. If we love God, that we just talked about, then we're going to respond to what he wants for us, what he wills for us. So 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God has given us things to do, the way we should act, the way we should treat people, the acts of worship. He has given us these things, and we should be willing to obey him. With thanksgiving in our heart, we are willing to obey him. And if we respond to his call, that presumes obeying the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. Responding to his call assumes that we're going to obey. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. We are bound to give thanks, always. Always giving thanks. Now, how else can we remember that all things work for good, even in times of tribulation? Romans chapter 5. We're going to have times where it's not going so well, that we think that we've done something wrong and we're being punished for it. But we know that all things work for good, even in times of tribulation. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and the character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When we have tribulation and we strive and fight through it and succeed, it makes us stronger. I think we can all have life lessons about that. And where we thought we were down, but we fought our way back. It makes us stronger. In times of tribulation, we can rejoice. We can persevere, and it builds character. But all things work for the good of God. And it turns into that hope. We keep that hope in our hearts. We can also look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10 to see that rejoicing in times of persecution, we see that the kingdom of heaven is ours. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In times of persecution, we can be thankful. We should be thankful. If it's in Christ's sake, in his namesake, we are doing what we're supposed to and we've gotten someone's attention. Knowing that these trials produce patience, we can rejoice in those. Knowing that patience produces perfection and completeness, we mature when we face some of these trials. We express thanks in every prayer. We are to include thanksgiving with our prayers. So we looked at Philippians. Let's turn back over there to Philippians chapter 4 again. I want to read this again. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We express our thanks in every prayer. We should. I heard at least three prayers this morning or today so far in this building, and every one of them expressed their thanks for something. There was thanksgiving in all of them. We should express our thanks in our requests also. Every time we pray for something, thank God for something. Thank God for the prayer, having that avenue to speak to Him. We have the ability to give Him credit. We need to make sure we do it. There's a song in our songbooks. It's song 392 titled, Count Your Many Blessings. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surpass you what the Lord hath done. Those two lines are in there. This song was written by Johnson Oatman back in the... He was alive from mid-1800s to the early 1900s, but that song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Could you count them all? Probably not. If we really deeply look at everything that we are truly blessed with, could we actually count all of our blessings? I'm not so sure. I'm thankful for this congregation. I'm thankful for my wife and the support I have. I'm thankful for my family, thankful for each and every one of you. And that's just what I can see standing here. There's so much more to be thankful for, and I just don't know that we could number the blessings that we have. And so even if some of our recognition and our thanksgiving to God is repeated in multiple prayers, He deserves it. Absolutely, He deserves it. Even when we're facing these hard times, we can be thankful. It's amazing. So when we think about the story of Daniel, if you turn back there to Daniel chapter 6, we're all mostly familiar with the story of Daniel, and there's going to be a decree signed that is going to basically label not God as being the only God. Okay, they want a king to be the only king for, I think, I'm going off of memory here, 30 years, I believe, was the time frame that they could just, that they couldn't name any other king besides this king or any god before him. So Daniel chapter 6, starting there in verse 6, I'm going to read through verse 11. Daniel 6, starting in 6, go through 11. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, 30 days, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. So now this Daniel story is coming, starting to remind you a little bit. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, here's what I want you to key up on here for Daniel. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew that this decree was done and that he knew the consequences should he speak up. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. So Daniel knew what was going to happen to him. He knew the consequences. That this decree for these 30 days, he couldn't speak of any god except for King Darius. But yet, he did it anyway. He was facing a life-threatening crisis, and he still gave thanks in everything. We know Daniel succeeded in his trials, but I hope that if we were facing something similar, we would be just as strong as Daniel was. He knew the consequences, but yet he was thankful. In his prayers, he went and was thankful. In Acts chapter 17, we get there from verses 22 through 28, where we know that we can be thankful for God, for He's given us everything, given us life and just the way, you know, our whole being live and breathe and move. It's such a wonderful thing to think about the way God has blessed us, even though we all know we don't deserve it. Acts 17, verses 22 through 28. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" They're praying. They knew of an unknown God, or at least acknowledged an unknown God. "Therefore, the one God, whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." The God of heaven has blessed us with everything that we have, including ourselves, creation. He deserves all of our thanksgiving. All of our thanksgiving. There's a New Testament scholar who does some commentaries, William Hendrickson. I don't know if you know him or not. There's a quote he has, and I'm going to just give it, pass it on to you. It's an express of giving thanks. He says, "When a person prays without giving thanks, he has clipped the wings of prayer so that it cannot rise." If we're not willing to give thanks to the God of heaven, then we're taking for granted the things he's blessed us with. He deserves it. So do you want the full benefit of prayer in your life? Do you want the ability to go to God in prayer and forget and have your sins forgiven? Do you want the ability to rejoice always in all circumstances? Then we have to take the time to thank God in everything we do, for everything we have, knowing that everything is done for the good of God. Without him in your life, there's a roadblock there. There's an obstacle that you've got to get around. So, before we leave here this day, be thankful for what God has offered to you right now. He's offering you salvation. He's offering you the opportunity of heaven, should you be willing to obey. This is God's will for us to obey him, but we are free moral agents. We have to make up our own mind. So, before we leave here, make up your mind to be thankful. Make up your mind to be added to the Lord's church. If you're not a Christian and you wish to be one, we're going to stand and sing a song here in just a moment. And if you'll come forward, have a seat on the front pew, and we'll take it from there. You could be added to the church. You could have the answer to your future. Hold it in your hands. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation, you've fallen away, we're here for you. We are family. Family should be the closest people to you, and you should be able to go to them with anything. If it's something you can take care of at your seat, now's the time. Don't leave this building without having your life right with God. We know we're never guaranteed tomorrow. We're never guaranteed the next 5 minutes. So if any way we can help, please come forward while together we stand and while we sing.